Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin Price certainly does that.
Yes, he does.
VolQuest.com does that as well. He joins us for the VolQuest Report twice a week here on the Midday 180. Austin, how are you?
I just have this visual of Paul down on South Beach with like a big glob of suntan lotion on his nose.
Yes.
That's Paul. That's him. And a Speedo.
You got to do what you got to do. Yep.
Speedo.
But when you got legs like this, you want to show them off?
Calves, not legs. Calves.
No, legs. Legs.
Austin, let's go into the approach for Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee in this game. It's a game they should dominate. How do you think they're going to come out in this game? Is it simply establish the run game, try to run it over and over, or are they going to work out everything in this game, including the passing attack?
Oh, I definitely think you have to work out everything, and I think it's paramount. I know Jeremy Pruitt talked about, you know, playing Keller Crist in this football game, and he should. You're playing ETSU, but I think it's paramount that Jarrett Garantano will feel really good about himself coming out of this game. I mean, you know, Jarrett, you know, right or wrong, is 1-6 as a starter, and, you know, obviously last year was a train wreck when he was starting those games late in the year with, you know, Butch being fired and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think he needs a game where they're just, you know, you're talking about, you know, it's just layups. I mean, just throwing touchdowns and putting up points. I mean, we had a kind of debate on our podcast at VolQuest this morning. You know, can you gain confidence out of this game? I say yes, because it's the same thing as a really good 3-point shooter that's in a slump. You don't just keep jacking 25 footers. You go in close and you work your way out. And I think watching the ball go across the goal line a few times and putting up some points and the scoreboard changing, I think that'll do this group some good. And so I work on everything. I work on the run game. I get all those backs, ample carries, but I also make sure Jarrett Garantano gets in a rhythm and puts together back-to-back impressive performances under this new regime.
And I've been really impressed with Jeremy Pruitt's approach publicly to this team this week. He's trying to build confidence, and he even said, there's some really talented, good players on this team. They need to realize that they're good, and they need to play like they're good because there are some really good players on this team. It's refreshing to hear that. Do you think that message works? Is it resonating with his team?
I mean, I think so, but at the end of the day, a lot of these guys have just been beat up mentally. And you know, I think you look back, and we talked about it in the preseason, is how would Micah Abernathy react? How would Nigel Warrior and Jonathan Kongbo and some of these guys that were highly regarded players when they were in recruiting that have, you know, kind of struggled at times, you know, do when things get tough. And last week I thought, you know, for the most part, those upperclassmen that have seen the struggle, they, you know, kind of caved to the struggle. Here we go again, you know, same old, instead of just fighting through it. And, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's saying the right things, but getting those players, you know, to play up and battle through a tough game. And to me, you won't learn a whole lot with that type of stuff in a game like this, because it's easy to, you know, take advantage defensively of you know, a lesser team. But you can build off things, and I think that's why ultimately you're going to see a lot of these young players get a chance. I think Sean Schamberger, if he doesn't start, will play a lot in this football game. And, you know, if they can just find a couple of guys that can get confident and then maybe start steamrolling on the defensive side of the ball, then maybe this defense can start making plays. Until then, it is going to be same old, and here we go again.
Who do you expect to see a lot more of this week on the defensive side of the ball that we didn't see as much of last week against West Virginia?
Well, I think DeAndre Johnson's the first one that jumps to mind, he and Sean Schamberger. I think DeAndre Johnson is a guy that, you know, as Jesse Simonton, my partner at VolQuest, has said, he's gotten to the quarterback as much in, you know, a handful of games over the last year and a half or year and one game as Jonathan Kongbo has in the last three. And so why not give him more run? And I think Schamberger athletically is exactly what they're looking for in the secondary. I think they'd like to play him at safety. He's not quite yet comfortable there and is much more comfortable in the nickel, which is why you'll likely see him in the nickel coming up, you know, tomorrow. But I think those two defensively, offensively, I think you'll see more of Jordan Murphy, and I think you'll see more of Jeremy Banks. And then I think Emmett Gooden as well defensively will get a lot more run in this football game.
What kind of crowd are you expecting tomorrow for the home opener?
I think a good crowd because it is the home opener. I mean, Tennessee's not had a home game since last November. Not to mention, you know, there are a lot of, you know, whether if you're from Upper East Tennessee, there are a lot of fans, even if they're Tennessee fans, they still like ETSU too. And there's a lot of local kids on ETSU. So you're going to naturally get a lot of families that want to come to this game because they've got a nephew or a son or a grandson that is playing for ETSU. And so I think you'll have a nice solid, I don't know if it'll be 102, 455, but I think it'll be upper 90s at worst and a really solid crowd for tomorrow's game at 4 o'clock.
Tennessee got some bad recruiting news yesterday. Jaden Hill, the four-star corner, decided to commit to Florida over Tennessee. What does that mean for the Vols, and where do you think they turn their attention to now? Because they've already got a lot of defensive backs committed.
They do. They've got a couple. Tyus Fields and, you know, Warren Burrell being the top two corners. I think they could maybe go corner again to the safety. You have Anthony Harris that's committed to the safety. You know, I really believe that, you know, they're going to look hard at trying to flip somebody that's committed elsewhere at the cornerback slot. But more than anything, I think they just need to add playmakers, whether it be finding a pass rusher that can get to the quarterback and a guy like Chris Bogle, you know, trying to flip Owen Popoy, the Auburn commit, Darnell Wright. All these guys will be in town for the Florida game in 2 weeks. And so, you know, does that weekend kind of serve as a melting pot if Tennessee can get a kind of a really good atmosphere and win the football game and those kind of things? You know, does that weekend serve as a melting pot to finish out the rest of this class in a few months? We'll see. But, you know, if I think with the corner spot, you're looking at guys that are committed elsewhere trying to flip them more so than a guy that's uncommitted.
Austin, it takes a lot of work, a lot of relationship building to land a commitment. And then it takes a lot of more work and a lot more relationship building to keep that commitment up till signing day and actually get that player on campus. Because Tennessee has focused so much out of state, does that make it at all more difficult to keep guys in the mix if this team, for whatever reason, is not respectable this year, especially in that gauntlet of games they have coming up in late September and October? Does that make things more imperative to at least be respectable to keep the guys that are out of state interested and stop them from going to places like Georgia and Auburn?
Yeah, I do think it makes it tougher because you don't have that natural tie. And, you know, while the relationship may be really strong, you know, when a kid lives 4 hours away or 6 hours away, it can make things more difficult. But when you look at it also outside of Nashville, I mean, most everybody is at least 4 hours away. And so, you know, the fact that Tennessee doesn't have a lot of players from the mid-state committed in this class, it could make it more difficult if things do go south. But that's something that the coaches fully understand when they decided to go the route they're going with this recruiting class, and they feel comfortable enough with the relationships they've built with these current prospects.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Austin Priceless. Austin, enjoy the weekend. We will recap everything with you next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.